Oh man, it's good to see you guys tonight. We're going to be getting through some scripture, so I hope you're ready. We should be able to do it in a pretty good manner. We're going to be in chapter 5 this Sunday, so we're going to grab chapters 3 and 4 tonight, so we got to get busy. I'm going to open us up in prayer, and we're going to get in the Word. Lord, we love you. Thank you for blessing our bodies to be able to get into the house tonight and to hear a word from you, Lord. And open our eyes and our ears, Father. Lead us, God. I pray that you teach us simply your word, Father, and that we can see what's going on in this church, Lord, and how it applies to our life, that we may glorify you in all that we do, all that we go through, all the people we're dealing with, all the stuff that we got to go through, Father, that in it all, that we see how good you are, God, and how you're growing us, developing us, and changing us into the image of Christ, our Savior. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So 1 Corinthians, we're going to be actually starting in chapter 3. And on Sunday, Paul was talking about how he said that he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And so really what he was saying is that as we get into the Word of God should get into us. And what I mean by that is as we study the Word, we're not looking for just principles and practical, not just like knowledge and facts and things about the Corinthians and things like that, but we're also looking for practical application in our life. God wants to change our lives. And the way that he does that is he's given us a Word. This is it. And so whatever we're going through, however we're going through it, this is the way that we get through it. And so when he's saying that the spiritual man judges everything, he's talking about a man who's in the Word of God and who's able to judge what's going on in his life. And as we're studying the Word, we should be able to judge what's right and wrong in our life, right? I mean, if you're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, as you're walking, as you're living, as you're going to work, as you guys are in your relationships, you should be able to know what boundaries are, how God wants you to act, how he wants you to deal with stuff, and you're measuring it all up by the Word of God. You're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, and yet Paul says that, that yet he is judged by no one. And so there's people who are what we're going to see Paul calls carnal, living in the flesh. And he's saying nobody living in the flesh, nobody who's carnal has the right to judge you who are spiritual, who's a Christian, who's walking with the Lord. So in other words, unless you're walking in the Spirit, you've got no business judging me in your flesh because you don't know me like that. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, there's people out there and they've got no business casting judgment on you as they're walking in the flesh. And so as we're walking in the Spirit and as we're in the Word of God and we're judging things according to the Word of God, God's moving and working in that. And so now Paul starts digging into the real issues of the church in Corinth. And this is so important. Because when you're looking at the book of Corinth, one of the major issues, if you're taking notes, that Paul hits straight up is the issue of division in the church. Church splits, church fights, church talking junk about church, pastors talking junk about pastors, and tearing each other up and dividing over issues in the body. And that's exactly what Paul's going to talk about and what's on his heart in the beginning. And what Paul does is he says he's got to talk to them and teach them the Word of God like they're babies. And the reason why is because they're fighting and backbiting with each other so much that they can't handle any very much of the Word at all. And anything that they get from the Word, it's got to be baby stuff. Do you guys know that the Word of God is like a bottomless well of knowledge and wisdom and insight? And yet, Paul's like, listen, I can't even give you guys any of it because of your fussing and fighting with everybody. And he says in verse 3, he starts out, I'm sorry, in verse 1 of chapter 3, He says, "And brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babies in Christ." And he says, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able to receive it." So Paul, he says to the church in Corinth, he's like, "Man, I wanted to give you guys just straight up Burger King. Like, I want to feed you guys steak. I would love to give you guys some good solid food." But he's like, "I got to keep you on the Gerber food. I got to keep you on the mashed up peas, because you're not able to handle anything more than that." What's interesting to me is when you, as a pastor and over the years, you get to know people. And sometimes people will leave the church and they'll be like, "Man, I'm just not getting," here's my favorite one that I love, "I'm just not getting fed." And it's not that they're not getting fed, it's that they're not living by what they learn. And we've got a saying here, and if we don't, we're gonna establish it now. It's listen, learn, and live. And you ought to put that in your notes. Listen, learn, and live. Listen, learn, and live. Listen, learn, and live. You know, that's what we want to do. And sometimes if we're not listening and we're not living what we're hearing or even learning, we're going to be on baby food. And one of the things that Paul addresses to this issue of carnality, when he uses the word carnal, he's talking about flesh. What's natural to us. You remember on Sunday, we talked about what's natural is not always best. You don't want to be acting natural is not always the best thing for us to do. If someone, we were talking about on Sunday, if someone cuts you off and they flip you off and you just do what's natural, that's not going to be the best thing. If you go to work and your boss is freaking out on you and that temptation is to freak back, that's what's natural, isn't it? But to sit there and take it, to sit there and be humble about it while you're getting torn up is anything but natural. It's supernatural. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to do a supernatural work in us. But we have to be willing to say, "Listen, I'm not going to allow division in my life." And this is where it starts. Paul addresses the church and he says, "Listen, you guys have divisions in the church. You guys are choosing sides." And this is some of the ways that we can tell if we're being in the flesh or carnal or not. One of them is if we have envy. There's three things, just real quick, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. But if you want to know if you're getting into living in carnality, and in the flesh, envy. If you've got a problem with someone else getting blessed, if you've got a problem with someone else with God breaking down strongholds or breaking chains or opening up doors of opportunity, if you've got problems with your friends getting married and you're not getting married, if you got problems where someone else is blessed and you've got issues with that, that's envy. And when you have envy, that's one of the markers that we're living in the flesh. Not just envy, but if we have strife, if we're fighting against each other, and you know, I love our church, and we're fortunate to be of the size that we are, so we don't have a lot of the trash, but you guys know that there's that stuff going on in bigger churches. It's inevitable, it just happens. It's not a diss on any church. It's just that the more people there are, the more issues there are. And so there's strife. There can be a lot of strife. And Paul's like, "Man, if you've got strife, if you've got envy, that's a mark of being in the flesh." Or divisions, cliques, cliques. And we want to remember this. Check this out. We are the body of Christ, the body, not the bodies. We make up individual parts of the whole of Christ's body. And like we said last week, when the body is divided, Christ bleeds. He's the one that bleeds. Because we're fussing and fighting and tearing each other apart. And so Paul's like, "Listen, I can't even talk to you guys the way I want to talk to you because you can't even handle it." So the person who's like, man, I'm just not growing, I'm not getting fed the word, you can't handle it. You can't back up a dump truck of burgers on a baby and think they're going to get it. And what keeps us from growing and getting it is having divisions with each other. He says in verse 3, he says, you're still carnal, for where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not still carnal? So Paul tells them, the Corinthians, he's like, you guys are immature babies and you're living in the flesh. Welcome to Sunday, right? Could you imagine coming to church on Sunday and you're wanting to hear an inspiring word from the Lord that's going to build you up? And he's just like, man, you guys are immature babies in the flesh because you can't figure nothing out. But you know what? Paul loves them. And you guys know, if your kid's running out in the street as a baby, you're not going to be like, hey, get back over here. You're going to be like, get out of the street, get over here. You might even grab their arm and like yank them out the road because you're freaking out. It's important. And Paul's like, man, listen, this stuff is so important that it's going to kill you guys. This fighting and backbiting with each other. And so he's talking to them like pretty harsh. But here's the interesting thing about it. When Paul says, check this out. When Paul says you guys are living in the flesh and you're being carnal, do you know he's not telling them it's because of their sex issues? Do you know it's not, he's saying that not because of their drunkenness issues? Do you know they're coming to church drunk? They're partaking in communion, getting wasted? And Paul doesn't say that those are the things that are causing them to be in the flesh, but it's division. It's the division in the body that's causing them to be in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you guys something. You guys can't grow in the Lord if you've got problems with everybody in your life. And there's people you know who say that they're Christians and they got a problem with everybody around them. Now, let me ask you, if you know somebody like that, raise your hand. Now, are they growing in the Lord? Yes or no? They can't. They can't. Because they got a problem with everybody. And Paul's saying, listen, you can't grow in the Lord if you got a problem with everybody in your life. So he addresses the issue of division, and now he says in verse 5, who then is Paul and who's Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? And as the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase so that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So Paul's telling them, listen, we're just making minimum wage at the same job. See, there's division because people are going after Apollos. They're like, he's so wise, he's so smart. But then there's people going after Paul, and then there's people going after Peter, and they're looking at Paul. And what's happening is in this church is the reason why they're siding up with different pastors, whether it's Peter, Paul, or Apollos, is because at some point, these guys had their eyes on a particular pastor, and that particular pastor let them down, and they're like, forget Paul, man. I'm on team Apollos now. You know what? Apollos let me down. So now I'm going to be on team Peter. And the problem with these people, they were having their eyes and giving credit for growth in their life to the wrong people. It was God who's doing the work in them. You know, this week, I told you guys that I had taken our grandbaby, Ruth, to go see Aladdin. And it was so cute because in the movie, if you guys have ever seen it, there's this girl in there, her name's Jasmine. And you guys all know I love Aladdin. And judge me, I don't care. But I love that movie. And so I know all the songs by heart. I'm not even playing. I don't even care if you think I'm a chick. I'm into it. In fact, I'm so into it, I listen to the soundtrack when I prepare my messages. Ask Vicky and my kids. I'm telling you, I ain't even joking. So, but Sunday, Jasmine, you guys know Jasmine, Heath and Amy's daughter, was up there in Sunday school. And Ruth, she grabbed a hold of it, because Jasmine's got dark hair. She kind of looks like Jasmine. And so Ruth, my grandbaby's 4 years old, and she was hanging on to Jasmine and would not let her go because she thought she was Jasmine. And I started cracking up, and I was thinking about, oh, man, when she finds out that that ain't Jasmine, she's going to feel stupid. She's going to feel weird, and it's going to get awkward. And it was awkward for Jasmine, you know, because she's like, do I sing this kid a song? Like, what do I do? But the point of it is listen, if you don't have your eyes on the right person, if you do have your eyes on the right person, the wrong one's not going to let you down, or the wrong ones will let you down. And that's what they were doing. They were looking at all these pastors, and their eyes are on them, and they were getting let down, and so they were changing their opinions, and they were keeping their eyes on the wrong person when they should have had their eyes on Christ, the real deal. And as a pastor, I want to encourage you guys, like always, we keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to say stuff that offends you guys, and not on purpose, sometimes on purpose. But, you know, if you guys keep your eyes on Jesus and give me grace, by the way, you want me to give you grace? Give it to me. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus and see what he'll do. And so Paul, when he's talking to him, he's like, listen, I planted, Apollos watered. Which blows my mind, because that implies that God has got work for you to do. Are you following? That means that God's got a plan for your life. And the reason why that kind of blows me away is because when we come into the service for God, now he's gifted you in some way. Your personality is just made to do certain things a certain way. And what amazes me is that when we get into partnership with God, do you know we don't make things better, but we make it worse? God doesn't need you, and he doesn't need me. In fact, whenever I get busy and start doing stuff, I have a tendency to mess it up. And that's why I'm saying it blows my mind that he takes us, as imperfect and messed up as we are, and he uses us in amazing ways. Because we don't always make things better, and sometimes we can make them worse. It's kind of like when my kids, when they were like 5 years old and I'd be working on my truck, and they'd want to help me put on the brakes or something or whatever, and they would grab a really important tool that I would need, and they would bring it to me and then drop it down the drain hole in the street. And they're like, I'm helping you, Dad. Now, I could have been like, no, you're not. You just dropped my tool down the gutter. But check this out. With God, the mess is part of the process. Isn't that something? The mess is part of the process. The things that we mess up, the things that we don't get right, the things that we want to do, but we don't always do it right, that's part of the process, because God is with us and he's developing us. And we've got to step out with him. I don't know. I think some of us here, we need to start stepping out more in some areas of faith and see what God will do. Might be teaching Sunday school, or teaching a men's class, a men's group, or a ladies' group, or something like that, where we're stepping out and you're saying, hey, listen, you know, I may not get it right, I don't know, but I'm going to step out on this. And so there's the mess is part of the process. God works in that. So don't try to have things right before you step out and work, because it doesn't work like that. It never works like that. You want to be used by God? Some of you do. Others of you, if you don't, then that's your business. But you should, at the end of your days, want to be able to look back over your life and say, I stepped out and I did this. And watch what God will do in it. And so Paul says, for we're in verse 9, he's now establishing who he is in the Lord. He's the planter. Apollos is the water. And he reminds them now, the Corinthians, of who they are. They're a field, a building, and a temple of God built on the foundation of Jesus. This is what he says in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. Now, when Paul said that you are God's field, I didn't like that metaphor. And the reason why is because fields get plowed. And when I read that, I'm like, I wish you would have used something else. Because that implies that if I'm God's field, God's going to plow me. And you know, the reality of it is things that inhibit our growth have got to go. And what happens is to get those things out, God's got to turn some stuff up. He's got to plow. He's got to plow us. I wonder if you've been feeling like you've been getting plowed maybe this week, getting raked over a little bit. God's doing a work. He's preparing your heart. He's getting some stuff turned up in there because he's fixing to plant a seed of a harvest to grow there. And it's amazing because we can feel like we're getting raked up and plowed, but God's got a plan. He's looking to produce fruit in us and for us to grow. That's what that's what his plan is. It's more about our calling than our comfort. Hello? So now, Paul says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul sees himself as a master builder. Any master builders in here tonight? You know, I've got a saying that says, if it's good enough for Vicky, right? That's how I build stuff in my house, fellas. And Vicky's into like, you know, just the bare minimum, if it works, whatever. So if it's good enough for Vicky, it's good enough for me. And then you get other people who are like reading the instructions. You know what I mean? Like they get instructions. If you're a man and you go to Walmart and you buy an entertainment center and it comes with instructions, you know what you do? You throw those in the garbage, right? They're suggestions. Who needs that? Until you put it together and you find out you got like 15 pieces left over and you're like, man, maybe I should have read those instructions. Durr. But there's people who are into instructions and they pay attention to detail. And what Paul says is, as he's building the church, as they're building the church, that they need to be the other type of person, not the one who is, if it's good enough for Vicky, but the other one who's like, I'm going to read these instructions and do it to the detail. And at Ark Bible Church, as us, we're part of the building of this church. Did you know that? We are the church planters of this church, right here tonight. And what God says to us is, listen, as you guys are building, you need to make sure that you're doing it according to specs. You know, I was talking to Pastor Terry. He taught here a couple weeks ago, and he's kind of like my pastor. He was the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Portland for over 25 years, and we have a standing appointment every Monday. And this appointment that I just had with him, he says, Jason, how did Sunday go? And I said, man, it was weird. I said, because on Saturday, I had worked all week and I prepared a message for Sunday, and at Saturday night at 5 o'clock, the Lord told me to throw it in the trash and to teach his text. And I said, I didn't know what I was going to do, man. I was like, I got to teach in a few hours in the morning, and I had to throw this whole message out. And here's why. The message was good, but it wasn't necessarily what God wanted. God doesn't want us to do things good. He wants us to do them right. Did that make sense? Because just because something's good doesn't mean something's right. And so what Paul's saying is God wants us to build rightly in this church, the way we handle each other, gossip, our mouth, our spiritual life outside the doors, to be the real deal in and out of secret, not in and out of church. And so Paul says he's a master builder, and he was building according to specs. And he says now in verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each and of what each one's work of which sort it is. So what we build on the foundation, which is Jesus, is going to be tested with fire. So if we look at our church and we're all about making our Bible church famous, that's going to get tested with fire. If we're all about making our Bible church popular, it's going to get tested with fire. If we make it all about Ark Bible Church getting known, that's going to get tested with fire. And I'd rather have two people in this church who are sold out for the Lord than trying to get some kind of fame, popularity, or notoriety in the community for themselves. It's serious business. And the Lord's like, listen, what we do is going to be tested with fire. This isn't a salvation issue. This is a reward issue. He's talking about reward. There's reward and then there's loss. Check out verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though one through the fire. And I wanted to encourage you guys, because I believe that there's people who are like, man, you know what? I just don't think I'm going to have much of a reward. God knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your motives. He sees everything you do. He sees everything you give. He sees all the time you spend praying for the pastor, the church, in the community, all of that stuff. All of the stuff that you have forgot that you've done for everybody, the people you've helped. And you know, I know that about you guys. There's so many people you've helped and you just don't even remember. And if someone was to say, hey, you remember that? You'd be, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember that. And it would blow your mind, because see, we forget, but God doesn't forget. And by the way, we can't take nothing with us. Did you know that? But you can send it ahead of you. And that's what he's saying. We can send it ahead. We can store it up. And that's what he's saying. And so, in verse 16, he says, do you not know that you're the temple of God? Because they must not have known. They must have thought, because they were living in the flesh so much, that they were separated from God. How interesting. That although they were full of the flesh and carnality, Paul still calls them Christians. They're not acting right. They're not living right. But I told you before, holy living doesn't make you holy. Jesus makes you holy. Jesus makes you right. Jesus makes you forgiven and justified before the Father. And so Paul tells them, you know, don't you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And when Paul's talking to him, he says, I want to tell you guys something about who you are, because we've got identity issues. You get your identity from the people around you, what they say about you, what you say about your own self. So Paul says, I want to give you an identity check real quick. And he says, you're the temple of God. Now, when he says temple of God, he doesn't mean the temple like the whole temple, like the spot. You guys know the temple. Instead of using the word temple, which meant the whole temple, Paul uses a Greek word called naos. And Naos had to, and I know your guys aren't going to remember that, and I don't care if you do or not, but I want to tell you why he's telling you that. When he says temple, he says Naos because it's describing a particular place in the temple, not the temple. And the particular place that Paul is describing when he says temple, it's the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is where the Spirit of God resided. The Holy of Holies was where he hung out. The Holy of Holies is where his presence filled that Shekinah glory, filled it. It was much like this right here, actually. If you look at our building, the Holies of Holies was like this rectangular type of a building in the temple, and the Spirit of God resided in that place, hung out there. And what Paul says is that inside, you are now that Holies of Holies where God has set up his glory inside of you. That's, we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. And that's the backdrop that Paul describes where the Holy Spirit is residing. He's residing and living in us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, he also says that we're a temple. And he says that you are living stones being fitted together, growing into a holy temple in which the Lord lives. We're living stones. And did you know that sometimes stones can have some pretty rough edges? Did you know that people come in here with a bunch of chips on them and chips on their shoulders? And what Paul is saying is that God takes those stones and those chips and those rough edges and he pushes us together and he's making a dwelling place, a temple. And so sometimes, you know, as the word says, iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. When you come into the house of the Lord, sometimes you're going to be coming up against people that you don't always agree with. Maybe some people you don't even like. But do you know what I found out? That the most growth happens when you learn how to deal with the people you can't stand instead of just separating from them. Did you know that? When you learn how to get along, when you learn how to work stuff out, when you learn how to get through those tough seasons with people that just rub you the wrong way, God's fitting you together and he's knocking those edges off. And so he says in verse 18, he says, so let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him first become a fool that he may become wise. Did you know nobody can deceive you like you can deceive you? Did you know the one who can get you to believe a lie quicker than anybody is you? I did it last week when I went to Oscars. I told myself, it's good. I told myself, it's been a long time. I told myself it wouldn't make me sick or put me on the commode at 2 a.m. You know who can deceive you more than anybody can deceive you? You can deceive you. And when it comes to sin, we do the same thing like we do with Oscars. Oh, it's been a long time. It wasn't that bad. It's not all. It's good. I can do it once in a while. I'm never going to Oscars again. I'm just telling you all straight up. If you enjoy it, then praise God for you. But you know what? We can deceive ourselves. Paul says, don't let him be deceived. He says, for it's written, verse 19, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they're futile. We talked about that last week, about candy cigarettes. Amen. And therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the things present or the things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God's. All of yours, everything. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys something as we're getting ready to wrap up. We're going to move quick now through this next piece. But I want to tell you guys something about the world. It's all yours to enjoy. Did you know that? And as a Christian, you doing the holy huddle and shutting yourself up in your home, it's not the way God designed things. You know, God wants you to enjoy life. Do you know it's not a sin to listen to secular music? Sometimes, I'm telling you guys, it's like, or going to the movies, or going to a play. Now, I agree that you got to be careful about what you let in, because I don't listen to everything. Because sometimes if I'm listening to Pandora, and you guys know I'm into R&B and I love my jazz, sometimes, you know, sometimes Dr. Dre will sneak in there on my playlist. And it gets crazy. And so I'll hear them saying a word. Have you ever been around someone that cussed? And then you're like, man, I do it all the time. But besides that, have you ever been around somebody when you were trying to watch your mouth and they just said the worst stuff? And you go home, I mean, you're not saying it, but you go home and all you hear is the F word in your head all the time? So you got to be careful about what you listen to. But what Paul's saying is that, listen, God has given us food. He's given us drink. I don't drink myself, but I don't think it's a sin neither. I think you getting drunk is a problem. I think the people around you when you get drunk would tell you that's a problem. But you know what? Drinking, food, stuff like that. You know, we're to enjoy this place while we got it. It's yours. Just be smart. You know, just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. Amen? So let's keep moving. So Paul says everything's yours. Enjoy it. Use it. Anyways, verse 4, he's in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, stewards of the mystery of God, servants of Christ. That word meant under rower. So when you guys were watching those movies of the Vikings, you know how on the lower deck they have those guys row, row, and there's some guy on deck beating this big old drum and they're rowing? That's what Paul said he is for God. That's what he says we are for God. That we're the under rowers for God, meaning he's the captain and he's beating the drum and we go to that beat. Meaning what God says, what God wants, that's the way we do it. Not the way we want to row, the way God wants to row. And he says we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And a steward was a person who had the bank account for their master. They had the charge card. You guys remember Joseph in the house of Potiphar, how he could go to the store and he could buy the goods and he could get everything for his master because his master had trusted him with the money in the bank account. And what Paul's saying is that the word of God is like a treasury. And we're to be the stewards of that, meaning that we take that word out and we use it. Because the word works. And so, kind of like spending money, when we're outside and we're doing stuff, we want to be bringing the word of God into every situation and using it. We want to be stewards of the mystery of God, the word of God, using it just like that. And so, you know, and some of you guys, when we're studying the word, you might be like, man, I don't really understand the word of God all the way. That's okay. Because what you're reading now, it's setting up for something later. So I just want to encourage you, if you get in the Word of God and you're just starting and you're just like, man, I don't totally get it right now, that's okay. Because God is going to use it later, not now. There's a foundation. Verse 2, he says, moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. Let's close out with this. Found faithful. Not successful. Faithful. You know, I think when we look at ministry in our lives, in the church maybe even, we look at stuff and we want to be successful. Paul says what matters is that we're faithful. You know, in the Old Testament, there was this prophet, and he was one of the most successful prophets that there was. His name was Jonah, and he went into this place called Nineveh that had about 2 million people. Some of you guys remember the story. And they were so rebellious, and they were just so living contrary to God. And God told Jonah, I want you to go, and I want you to preach a word. And so he goes to Nineveh after a fight and getting swallowed by a whale. He ends up going. Because you know what? You're going to end up doing what God wants you to do one way or another. You can fight it all you want, but God's going to have his way. So he goes to Nineveh, and everybody there gets saved. They give their life to God. They repent. They put on sackcloth, right? Do you remember the story? And 2 million people got saved, which is amazing. That's just great. Successful, I would say. But then you contrast Jonah's story with another guy by the name of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, this boy, when you guys read the book of Jeremiah, this guy, he preached the word of God for 30 years. And you know how many people got saved? You know how many people gave their life to God and repented? Out of 30 years? How many? Not one. Rough crowd. I think you guys are tough. 30 years, and nobody gave their life to the Lord. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, and the people looked at Christ, they did not mistake him for Jonah, but for Jeremiah. Because it's not about being successful, it's about being faithful. And so I want to encourage you guys, as we're going to close this out tonight, focus on faithfulness and let God worry about the success or the fruit that comes of it. Be faithful and watch what God does. Just be faithful and watch what he does through it. Amen. Let's pray. Prayer requests. I'm going to have to do it. I want to do it. I want to pray for you guys tonight. Prayer requests. Jan got attacked by a cat again. Same cat. Thank you, Jesus. So we want to pray that that infection doesn't come back, because last time she almost lost her arm. So we want to pray that God does a work in her. Dave, this weekend is Cadence Classic, right? Okay, so we want to pray that that's successful and God blesses that. Danny, you got anything you want prayer for? What's that? Yeah. Anybody else? Kathy? That's a horrible thing to deal with, because there is no comfort with that. It's nuts. Yeah. Anybody else? These are free, by the way. Okay. Okay, with that, with her, was it her boyfriend?
Well, yeah, because they weren't married.
Right. So they have a boyfriend, yeah. Okay. All right, let's pray. And let's worry about being faithful instead of successful, amen. So, Father, we just come to you tonight, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that over our church, God, that our goal, like Paul said, he was a faithful minister. I pray that we faithfully minister to our community, our culture. God, that we build properly, that that would honor you, Lord, with our lives. Father, I pray that as we're faithful to you, God, that you work out everything else. But our heart is to do it right. Not good, not good. We're not looking for Ark Bible Church to be famous, popular, or known, but we're looking to make you famous, popular, and known as a good God who loves our community. And Lord, that our town needs so desperately. God, may we go out of these doors tonight and be faithful in praying and loving those in our community and filling the gaps, picking up the ball, God, where the world has dropped it and left them wanting. God, may we go out in power in your word and in your love. And so, Father, we also, too, want to pray over those in our church. Father, we pray over Danny. God, I pray that you give him peace. Lord, I pray that also, too, Lord, with his faithfulness, Lord, to do things right in his life, the way he's raising his daughter, the way he works, God, everything that he does, the faithfulness that he has, God, that you bless that, that you strengthen him, even tonight, God, that he knows that you're going to provide for him, you're going to take care of him. You open doors no man can shut. And Lord, how things are aren't always how they are going to be. And so I pray that you just fill him up with your peace. And Lord, we pray over Dave with this event this weekend that you bless it abundantly and watch over it and protect it. Father, we pray over Jan for healing over her body. God, that the antibiotics and the treatment will kick in, work. Lord, that you strengthen her, keep her from getting sick. Jesus, we pray. You're our healer, Lord. And Father, we pray over Sam. Lord, that you strengthen this girl. Give her wisdom. Turn her heart to you, Jesus. I pray for healing in that situation and peace, Lord. We pray over Sterling, God, for his body, that you touch him up, heal him up. Give the doctors wisdom tonight. Father, we pray even now that tomorrow we're going to hear good news over him, Lord. And Father, for everybody else in here tonight, Lord, whatever care or concern is going on, whatever fear they may have, anxiety they're dealing with, stronghold in their life, whatever it may be, that they turn to you, Lord, put their trust in you, their faith in you, and that you show yourself faithful and mighty on their behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.